for calling. We love to talk to our customers, and we know you love talking to us because you keep calling. For tech support, if you haven't put your CD in yet, try that. Otherwise, press 1. For customer support, such as more minutes, where to buy Slingshot, questions that you can't answer yourself, press 2. For anything else, excluding personal information about celebrities, political agendas, or anything involving anything that could lead to litigation, press 3. For our cookie recipe, a moose call, and a lousy joke, press 4. I'm lying. We actually just route you back to where you were. For tech support, if you haven't put your CD in yet, try that. Otherwise, press 1.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
Wednesday night, time for Radio Freak America, episode 9. I'm Bill Parallel. I'm joined in studio by Mary Chan. Say hello, Mary Chan.
Hey, what's up?
Mary Chan went to the zoo and saw monkeys. And on the phone, we have Rax.
There.
And Condor.
Hello.
Gentlemen, how are you? We have big news about the show on the website, and I'd like to talk. We're actually talking about this for the first time. We're going to hash everything out right now on the show for the four of us and for the listeners. There's going to be big changes. We've had a lot of opportunities come our way. The first change is that, believe it or not, I am buying a new computer. Yes, at least new to me. I am buying a new computer. We've done everything so far. I've done everything so far, you know, technically, on a Pentium 133 with free software. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. We've had a couple of things come up, and it's time for me to upgrade. I'm getting a semi-new computer, more used. I'm getting like a 550 with everything needed to stream. And that's the key. We've had an opportunity. Rant Radio has actually offered to stream our show. They listened to it, Samarian did, and emailed me. And said he likes it, so I had to upgrade. I wanted to upgrade. Come on, I mean, the fastest computer I have is my laptop. That's a 266. That's just not cutting it anymore. It was for me. I mean, when you're running command line, it doesn't really matter. So,
you got to understand, folks. Dual is on the trailing edge of technology.
I don't know why. I buy these crappy old computers. I rebuild them. I use them. They work great. I've got a wireless network. This 133 that I record the show on is actually my wireless proxy server. So it's great. So, like I told, like I said to the listeners and you guys, we've got that offer from Rant Radio, and I actually wanted to hash it out with you guys right now on the show. I want to do it. I'm dying to do it. It's a great opportunity. They got great shows already. They got a lot of listeners. They play great music. I listen to it all the time. What do you guys think? Honestly, I want to do it.
So from the technical side, you're going to have to be able to record it and stream it. I mean, are you going to have enough bandwidth with your cable modem setup? Do you have enough bandwidth to stream out?
I believe so, yes. And I think we have the opportunity. I'll have to go back and read the fact again. I've read it a couple of times. I'll read it again. But I think we do have the ability to record and stream that MP3, break into their stream and stream the recording if we had to. But yes, I think with this new computer and my cable connection, I believe I do have the ability to stream this easily.
Okay, because you know it's cable is like bound to like 128K outbound upload.
Yes, I do know that. And in fact, I'll go to Vinaj's website. We'll talk about Vinaj later, and I'll check my my upload speed. But I'm pretty sure 128 would be plenty to stream this show.
Then is it 256?
I can, or they have?
That's different parts of the country, but if anything, I doubt that they're going to make it any larger. I think they're going to make it smaller, if anything.
Yeah, they really don't like people running servers. Actually, I got a little rumor, a little inside scoop from a Comcast employee. They said that Comcast is actually interested in starting what's called Comcast Business at Home and actually opening up the bandwidth, giving you, I don't know if it's synchronous or what, but it'll be, this is all rumor now, $100 a month, you get a static IP, and you'll get the bandwidth to run servers. So if they do that, and that's after, she told me, that's after they get the infrastructure in, all the switching, all the cable, everything. So $100, that's a little pricey for me, but $100 a month for a static IP and synchronous transfer, that'd be phenomenal.
Doubt it that it's going to be that little, because other cable providers in other parts of the country have that, and I've checked into that.
Oh, you have?
And I was looking to do that to run my servers in my house here, and it wasn't $100. I mean, I can't remember what it was at the time, but it certainly I would have jumped at $100.
Seriously, well, I'm paying $50 right now, and that's with the basic cable TV crap, which I don't watch. I just get it for the cable access. They go ahead and bundle it in. So double the price, you would jump at that, huh?
If it was $100, I would have jumped at it, absolutely.
80, I would. 100, I would think about it.
No, T1, if you look at a regular T1 service, which is only 1.544 megabits, that's like...
$500, I think.
No, it's little, like, but you got to pay for two parts. You got to pay for layer one and layer two, so basically the wire and the pipe to hold the data, and then you have to pay for the connectivity. You have to pay for the data streaming down the pipe, and that generally, depending on what part of the country you're in, that generally goes from about $1,200 to $1,500 a month. So I don't know how they're going to give... for $100 a month, they think they're going to give that, and everyone's going to do servers on that.
Well, but you really don't get 1.5. 1.5 is theoretical on cable. I don't know. I'm assuming it's maxed out on T1, but I don't think you really get 1.5, especially with the shared bandwidth in a neighborhood.
Theoretically, you're supposed to have 10 megabits down on cable.
On cable?
Theoretically, yeah, it's a 10 megabit pipe. Theoretically.
I thought it was 1.5. Oh well. No,
T1 is 1.544.
Now, did you hear? I forget, I think it was on Flashdot. There was a article that this guy like hacked his cable modem. It was a 3Com cable modem. I mean, I would have to find it. It was kind of hard to remember, but he like hacked his cable modem using AT&T in Illinois somewhere.
Hmm. I don't remember hearing about that.
No.
Well, things last 2600 magazine about At Home Network, which has now gone away, and their technicians thing called Matrix, which I got to play around with once before, but I don't remember seeing that. So you'd have to send me an URL. But anyway, so what else do we need to do? I mean, we need to commit to doing this once a week.
Yeah, we have to do it definitely once a week, and have to be 1 hour long. We'd have to fill it with no more freeform like we've been doing it. And like I said, I think we have the ability to maybe record but stream. I'd rather stream live. That'd be way cooler. I want to do it. That's my vote. Hold on, Mary Chan, you wanna put your two cents in?
I think it's a great idea personally, put us sort of on the map there. Also, I have a little additional news. Bad news, Skylar won't be joining us as often now. Good news is she now has a new job. She gives people cancer for a living. So
what do you mean she gives people cancer?
She works at a tanning salon now.
All right. Well, that's fine. If you want to get cancer, that's fine. So I think we got two votes in. Condor, speak up now. Tell us what you think.
I don't know. I'm watching the screensavers, and it says hackers beware. They're talking about some security thing, but I am totally for it. But the only thing is, will you be able to provide all that bandwidth? I mean, how many people would be going on?
No. We're using their stream. People aren't going to come to my computer. I will break into their stream and put it into theirs. So we're going to be using all their pipes, and they got a lot of fat pipes, so we're good. All I've got to do is get it into their stream. And Rax, what's your opinion?
The only thing I can see is that, there's no real opportunity for doing any kind of post-production stuff in that, since it all is live. And the only other downside is... we're really not, and we can address this later as listenership goes up in that, but we're really not equipped to take incoming calls from anybody else. So that interactivity that we would gain by being live, really isn't there yet.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a couple of things you can do. We could set up an IRC channel, We could, okay, so I got three things. First, we could set up an IRC channel. Second, the other shows don't take call-ins. Well, no, that's not true. Sean Kennedy does. HackerMind does not. Third, don't quote me, and again, I believe we can record and then put the stream in and put the show into their stream. I think that's a possibility. And then that would allow us post-production. We don't do much right now, believe it or not. We did more at the beginning and less as the shows have gone on, just because I've been trying to basically train myself to be able to, you know, talk for an hour and stream it. That's the ultimate goal, and to get out to people and have an enjoyable show, informative show for all the listeners. I think it's going to go. I will make it work. You know, you guys, don't worry about it. I will make sure it works, starting with the computer. Another reason I'm getting the computer, and I'm very happy, SUSE 8 is shipping as we speak, and it's got KDE 3. I can't wait. I think I said on a previous show, if SUSE 8 came out, I would buy a new computer with KDE 3, and I did. I went and got a new computer, and that's another reason. And I think, didn't you mention something about Torvalds and SUSE, Condor?
What?
Condor, shut up the TV, man.
Sorry.
It's not TV week.
Yeah! Unbelievable! Turn off TV, turn off week, and you're watching TV. Dude.
The Grinch is on!
Okay, all right. I have my full attention towards you. Hope you're happy.
Oh, look, Phoebe's doing something stupid again.
Oh, she's saying you watch soap operas, dude. Okay.
No, Friends is not.
Didn't you say whatever? Didn't you say something about Torvald and SUSE or something like that's his fate? Like he would only use SUSE and never ever Debian or something like that.
All right. I'll settle this later, Duel. On Linus Torvalds, he knows the CEO of SUSE, which is, and I call it SUSE. He's in Germany or something like that, and his name is Dirk or something like that, D-I-R-K or something like that. And he knows him personally, so I guess that's why he uses it. And he uses SUSE at his house and Red Hat at his work. So, Red Hat at his work, Duel.
I heard that, and I'm coming around to Red Hat. I have to use it, I'm using it more at work for certain things, so I'm definitely coming around. I'm opening my mind, and I should be much more open minded about Linux distros.
Do you not like what?
You're right. You're totally right. I should not show favoritism towards any distro. Now, Condor, I'm glad we're talking to you. This is the other news for the show and or site. Condor, you are going to be taking over the file. It used to be file of the day, but it was never really up. You know, it wasn't changed very regularly. But now it will be. You are going to take over the now called file of the week, and every weekend I think you're going to put in a new file. And there's actually a now, listeners, there's actually a philosophy behind the files we put up there. We're not just going to put up any, you know, Trojan or password cracker. We're going to actually use files that are, first, you know, small in size for you. You know, we're going to look for something kind of compact. Next, we're going to make sure it's kind of unique. We're going to make sure that it's not run-of-the-mill. And then finally, we're going to put up stuff that we've used, that we have used or will use. Like this week, we'll put up NetStumbler. And next week, this coming up weekend, Condor's going to get a new one, and we're going to have a little description. And every week, Condor's going to help our listeners. So I want to thank you, Condor, for taking that over.
No problem. And if you have any suggestions, you can email me at kondor@oldschoolfreak.com.
That's right, kondor@oldschoolfreak.com. That's Condor with a K. So that is the news for the show and the website. Very exciting stuff. I'm very happy. Very happy. Thanks to Rant Radio for the offer.
Yay.
Yay. That's right, yay. Now, listeners, it's time for Duel's Adventures.
You need a little song here.
That's right. Maybe we'll get some jazz in the post production here. So we're gonna begin, listeners, at a quiet bookstore with soft piano and bass jazz wafting through the store. Now, it actually all began when Mary Chan, associate at a mall, invited me to come meet her at a large chain bookstore.
You're jealous because you don't work at the
right. Store. Very jealous. Yeah. That will remain unnamed, Borders. And We were walking, went to the cafe. We were going to take her book back and to where she picked it up. And boy, I thought I heard live music because it stopped and I heard people. I was like, oh, great, live jazz. So I went over and looked, and sure enough, piano and bass jazz was great. I love listening to jazz. And then I did the cellular provider commercial thing. I dialed up my dad. I held up the phone to the music, and he listened to jazz, and we shared a touching moment. It was so beautiful.
When I get a job from AT&T Wireless, I'll tell them that idea for
Yeah, me. Well, I think it's been used already. So after I wiped that tear from my eye from that touching, warm, fuzzy moment, started walking back through the store, we both did, I noticed a phone, a large black phone hanging on a wall, kind of inconspicuous. It was a Nortel Meridian. And I said, hey, I'd like to make a random phone call to some unsuspecting person at his house. So I did. I picked up the phone. And I calmly pressed the feature button, and then 6-6, and I got a dial tone.
You know what you sound like? You sound like Garrison Keillor from Prairie Home Companion.
I hate that guy. I despise that show.
You sound...
So, I pressed feature 6-6, listeners, and I got a dial tone. But nothing seemed to work, so I pressed a line button, and I got a different dial tone. And I said, aha, that's the dial tone. And I dialed a random number. And a man answered, and I asked for John, for no particular reason. And he said, that's the wrong number, guy. And I said, well, I'm sorry, buddy. Actually, I apologized and hung up the phone. So, Nortel Meridian, feature 6-6, pick a line, dial out at your local Borders. We were both famished, starving as it were. We headed to the food court. And I think Mexican pickle la France, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, Mexican food I thought sounded good. Even mall Mexican food sounded okay. As we walked up to the little stand, we saw a young girl standing there, a little puzzled, looking around. What was she doing? We looked at her, and she looked back at us and said, no one's here. I've been standing here for quite a while. Well, that, of course, piqued my interest. And being cursed with this ability to notice weird things, little things that other people don't, I looked around this little Mexican food restaurant in the food court, and I noticed the cash register, and sticking out of the cash register was an employee card. Yes, listeners, the card that you swipe to perform transactions. Well, I had to investigate. I walked over to the cash register, a low-slung cash register, easily seen from the counter by any customer. I promptly grasped the card and swiped it. I then rang up two Maxi enchilada dinners. I then hit an enter button. This is all off the top of my head. Then I hit the cash button. And sure enough, cha-ching, rattle, rattle, the cash drawer opened with not an employee in sight. Of course, naturally, having the ethics and morals that I do, my heart as pure as the driven snow. No laughing, please, at that never-so-true comment. I promptly closed the cash drawer without touching one red cent. Is that true?
Yes, you did.
Thank you very much. I closed the cash drawer, listeners.
It was a quiet night on Lake Wobegon.
Enough. I despise that man.
No. So, now you know the rest of the story.
The rest
of the story.
Okay. Enough bad radio references. Now, so I closed the drawer. Shortly after, the young, stoned-looking employee came out, the young man, and he looked puzzled at the receipts that had been spit out of the cash register and the other one at the other end of the counter where you get your receipt to pick up your order. He looked puzzled at both of them. What's going on? He looked at it, 12:17, and he knew nothing of it. Then he proceeded to help the young lady. I've had enough of this. I had enough, no interest in Mexican food anymore. I started to leave, and I said, wait a minute, I need that receipt. No, this receipt. I went back and asked the gentleman, excuse me, could I have that receipt, please? And he looked at me puzzled, and ripped it off and said, okay, and handed it to me. So I have the receipt here. Dine-in sales, 2 dinner beef enchiladas, $5.75 a piece, $11.50, $12.17 total.
You're going to have to scan that and put that up on the site for
proof? I might have to. Proof that...
Location?
What's that?
For the location?
Maybe. We'll see. I might censor it, but definitely... Keep the moral of this story, of this part of Duel's Adventures, is keep your eyes open. How unbelievably unsecure is that, just to leave access cards sitting around? Any other unscrupulous person could have grabbed all that cash. By the way, this little Mexican food place was right next to the exit of the mall, right next to the doors. Anyone could have grabbed all the money in there and left. They could have taken the whole drawer and walked out.
But here's the thing, Duel, and you're bringing it up, and you're talking about ethics and that, and it's the media. We all love the media on this show very much, but the media paints hackers out to be nefarious people, bad people. And Duel, it wasn't so much about getting the money, getting a coin. It was like figuring something out.
Exactly. It was that security was bad at this Mexican food restaurant.
Well, that, and secondly, it's a really bad way just to open a cash register. Most other stores I know, to open the cash register, you have to put in a store code, an employee number, something along the lines of that. If you have a card, and this worker, he's one of those pimply-faced, ask people, oh, here's your taco, sir, kind of guy, and he doesn't even take the card with him.
That's right. That is called single point of failure. They need at least a 4-digit PIN, something that most stores have, or a key in a PIN. You were saying something, Condor?
Yeah, what is a hacker? Are you a hacker?
I'm not going to call myself a hacker or a freak. I let others do that. That's fine. If being a hacker means that you really enjoy technology, you have a different way of thinking about technology and phones and computers, then yeah, I'm a hacker.
I was asked at my school, Michael, are you a hacker? And I said, well...
Michael not being your real name,
right,
of course.
Right.
Correct.
Oh, I really can't answer that, I said. And I said, well, I guess you could say I am. And I said, well, let me tell you that, for one, a hacker is a programmer. 2, a hacker is also a state of being. It's what you think. It's not something like, hey, I want to be a doctor. Hey, I want to be a hacker today. You can't really decide that. I mean, it's crazy. And she just said, well, I won't tell anyone. I'm like, I don't know yet. I haven't decided. So,
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, you can go and look up and look into the history of things and look in definitions and that. And I had this discussion with a group of people, actually, I think it was just this week. But when it originally started out, and as far as people can tell, they think it started out at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And a hacker was someone who had figured a creative solution to something. They figured their way out of a problem in a somewhat creative manner. And the person would then take and share that knowledge that they gained by working their way around the situation. They'd share that with everyone else. And yeah, they were mainly programmers, but I mean, there's also people doing electronics research and everything else there, and then studies and that. And so you could be a hacker it meant you were good at what you did, and you found your way around something, figured out something new, and shared that knowledge with other people. But they also did. MIT is famous for this, and if you go to mit.edu, you'll see. I don't know exactly where it is, but I've looked at it before. They're, every year, at least every year, they tend to do something. They pull a hack, and there's a building with the Great Dome. And like now, when Lord of the Rings came out, the hack was they usually do this at night so it can't be seen, and then people are surprised to see it the next day. So here's this huge domed building, and they put like a gold ring around it with Elven script, with Sindarin script for. Like the One Ring for Lord of the Ring. And that's for when Lord of the Rings came out. When Star Wars came out, they had the dome, they made it look like R2-D2. I mean, another time they took a security jeep or whatever it was, disassembled it piece by piece, brought it up to the top of the dome, and turned on the flashers in that, so when people went out in the morning, they saw it. And that's a tradition there.
Also, they on an ambulance, they or some utility thing or whatever, they made it say hack police or something like that, or hack cleanup or something like that.
Yeah, so it's the original intent of it, you know, the original, I wouldn't even say intent. I mean, it was kind of an evolutionary thing. It was a grassroots thing. It wasn't synthesized. It just kind of grew. It just kind of, you know, became there. There was a positive connotation to that. Well, our lovely media in this country, and not only this country, other countries as well, kind of latched onto the term, and they started applying it to people who were doing electronic vandalism. Basically, you know, people try to differentiate, and they call it crackers. You know, you're cracking into a system, breaking into a system to do damage, but it's vandalism, website defacement. That's vandalism. And while it may take some skill and some knowledge to get into that, enough information is released now, no offense intended to our audience there, especially any younger members of the audience, but there's the term is script kiddies. They run these scripts. They don't know how they work. They didn't write them. They get a hold of them, and they run these scripts to, do things, like the big denial of service thing that was a year or two ago, whatever it was, for Yahoo. eBay and Yahoo and Amazon. It was by a 13-year-old kid in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, calling himself Mafia Boy. He didn't write the program. He got a hold of it from someone, ran the program, and just, you know, typed in the URL for those various websites and did a denial of service. And that kind of stuff, I mean, people do that. You know, it's tools are tools. Tools can be used for good and for evil. An airplane, and this is especially poignant after 9/11, but an airplane can be used for very good purposes, to transport people, to transport food, to transport medicine. Unfortunately, now it's in our world consciousness that an airplane can be used as an instrument of mass destruction. Is the airplane itself evil? No. It's the intent of the people using that tool.
I must agree. I must agree. And if I may quote probably one of the greatest hackers of all time, and nobody can deny this, Richard Stallman, on, I believe, last week's Off the Hook, he said that hacking is playful cleverness. Much of what you gentlemen just said. Playful cleverness. What do you think, Mary Chan?
I think the main problem is what Rax was trying to explain to here is definitely, which is, you know, our media sort of makes it up so it all of a sudden is, you know, obviously a bad thing, you know. And, of course, after 9/11, the word terrorism became a major hot button in the industry to anyone who you're against. So now it's all of a sudden denoted as cyber terrorism. And what Condor's saying here, that girl who asked them, you know, oh, I won't tell anyone it's okay. I'm assuming it's bad. What you're doing is terrorism, so to speak.
Say, can you call a hacker a terrorist? I mean, they'll say like, oh, we're gonna, like in Israel, they're saying, defending their actions by saying, we're trying to kill Palestinian terrorists. Well, you can call anybody who has the idea of, I don't know how to say this, but they don't like the government. You want to overthrow the government or talking bad against the government, then I guess you can call them a terrorist. You can call anybody a terrorist.
And we talked about this a couple of weeks back when we were talking about the Patriot Act and the possibility of that being revised and all that. And, you know, it's lack of knowledge on people's parts when first of all, labeling any one or any group in that is a very dangerous thing to do when you paint people with a broad brush that way. But, you know, the media is a tool. It's, you know, unfortunately, the look at it. The media is business. It's big business. It wants to make money.
We need to repair that tool.
And, yeah, that's true. But it wants to make money. Now, do you make money if you're saying, you know, some people broke into a store or do you say, do you make money if you say, you know, organized thieves, you know, vandalized and ravaged, you know, these sensationalized things just to get people to watch. My best case in point of that, this is many years ago, but some of you may remember, like, all the super tankers, right? The super tankers were running aground and spilling oil and all this stuff, even before the Exxon Valdez. And it was all over the news. Every day, another super tanker somewhere in the world crashed and was spilling millions of gallons of oil. It was a terrible environmental situation. But people got tired of hearing that after a couple of weeks, and it kind of died down. Here's a more recent one. Chandra Levy, right, the missing intern. And, you know, that was every day, and there was another update, and the media was just, you know, pardon the expression, but the media was just whores to the story because they wanted people to watch. And people, the public, with this group consciousness where it tends to, rather than, you know, being an aggregate and being the sum total of it, it's kind of like an inverse aggregate where it's the more people you add, the dumber the crowd gets. They just eat that kind of stuff up. So they listen to these things and they prejudge with little or no information. They take at face value the things that the media is saying, and the media is just there feeding them cotton candy. Nothing really nourishing, and there are, and I'm falling into the same thing by making these broad sweeping statements, but the vast majority of the media seems to be feeding the people's hunger with cotton candy. Yeah, it tastes good going in, there's no real substance to it, and it's not very good for your health.
All the more reason to observe TV Turn-Off Week and listen to Radio Freak America at oldschoolfreak.com, and especially listen to Duel's Adventures.
Nice pimp there, by the way.
Thank you very much. After the Mexican food incident, I walked Mary Chan to her work and I left. I headed to the payphones. I wanted to call my friends far, far away. Condor, Rax, Zapperlink. But they were all long distance calls. What is a person to do? Use a calling card? No. Illegal means? No way. What is somebody to do? What is a phone freak to do? You know what he does? He uses PhoneHog. That's right, PhoneHog.com. What you do is you make a fake identity, basically, and get yourself a webmail account, one that you don't care about, one that you don't care if it gets stuffed full of junk and spam. Then you go to PhoneHog.com and use that email address and sign up at PhoneHog.com. You'll get 10 minutes of long distance right off the bat. Access code, long distance calling. Then sign up for everything they've got there. Sign up to your heart's content. And the next day after you sign up, you'll be rolling in minutes. So you can go to any payphone. Now, unfortunately, the payphones will not accept, at least Arbok payphones, won't let you dial PhoneHog directly. So, of course, call AT&T off the vert, and then you can make all the long-distance calls you want. And I did. I called my friends. I left them messages. I spoke to them. We all had a good, good time. Now, an added bonus at PhoneHog, you go back after you make these phone calls, head back to the PhoneHog site and check out your minutes. I think it's like view your stats or something like that. And it'll also give you basically a log of all your calls. So if you optivert, you'll get those funny, you know, phone telco numbers, you know, that you call and nothing happens. So and it's useful too. You can just log all of your activities and see where you spend your minutes. It's actually kind of fun. Mary Chan, you were wanting to say something?
Yeah, I'm getting a sugar rush here.
Oh, well, everybody loves Duel's Adventures.
Aww.
Oh, okay.
And you became a whore of the media.
Isn't that great? I thought it was fun. It was just it was all so dramatic, you know, the tear-jerking phone call, you know, the jazz with my father, and the dramatic money drawer opening. It was just I couldn't pass it up. Now,
in the interest of free knowledge, Jewel, why don't you take a minute and explain the Optivert stuff?
Oh, it's really simple. Optiverting has been done for a long, long time. You'd call the operator and have the operator call another number for you so it doesn't pass Aaron and I. Lucky 225 wrote in 2600 all about the AT&T network and optiverting without the op. You just call 1010-2880 from your home phone, pay phone. You won't pass your A&I. So it's actually really useful. You can prove it to yourself by finding some 800 number that's like a store locator or even tell me. If you optivert to tell me, and then ask for, movie times. Try it without optiverting. It'll tell you what city you're in, and then optivert, and then it'll ask you what city you're in. So that's basically what it does. Lucky225, check out his site, by the way, VerizonOWN.com. Good stuff. Now, next, I'm not going to do it cheesy. Next, I want to talk about my little trip to Radio Shack.
Easy, huh? Okay.
Yeah, no drama here.
Thank God.
And I'm not that big of a consumer either, but I couldn't pass this deal up. I've got my radio license, my ham radio license, and I've been dying for a handheld. I've yet to get one, but I found one. They actually had a new dual band model coming out. It was supposed to come out in November 2001, but it's yet to materialize. You know, it's total vapor. But I found the last model for $120. That's a great deal. That's like $140 off the price, less than 50%. And it's a dual band. It's a 2 meter 440, 70 centimeter. Like I said, for $120. And it's a great deal. I've had a little trouble. I've got a few repeaters in town to use, and I've had trouble getting on one. I'm going to try the other shortly. But another added benefit, now if anybody has looked into ham radio, you know that you can join a repeater club and use phone patch. And that's where you can basically make phone calls through the repeater. And the phone calls be local to the repeater. The repeater might not be local to where you are. So you'll figure it out if you join a repeater club. So the handheld I have has a DTMF keypad. Added bonus, it's got silver box tones. Now, for those of you who don't know what silver box tones are, there's actually another row of keys, of four keys, to the right of the 369 and pound. So naturally to the right, they'd be higher frequency. And they are A, B, C, and D. And they're used to control, well, I don't know how much they're used to control anything anymore, but you can control, I don't know, PBXs. Who knows what you can do with silver tones anymore. But I'd like to actually play a few for you. Hold on one second. Let me turn on the radio here. And you'll notice, in fact, I'll play like the 3, 6, and 9, and you'll notice how much higher in frequency they are. Let me see if I can do, where is this? Push to talk. So you'll send a tone to the repeater, and then you'll actually dial the tones. Now here's like a 3. That's 3. Now here's, oh, the repeater's sending a signal back to me saying that it heard me. So I got a little static. Now here's the A tone. So you can notice how much higher in frequency it is. Every time I call the repeater, gives me a little beep tone and sends me back a signal. So, actually, I'm going to play a couple more just in case you didn't hear those. I'll play a 6 and a B now. Here's a 6. I hope you can hear that. And here's the B.
Why don't you play a normal tone?
I did. That's what I was trying to do. Actually, it wasn't working out too well. It doesn't emit the tones. It's probably as loud as I need for the radio show.
We'll try this.
Please. Oh, yeah. Well, no, I wanted to demonstrate it on the radio itself. So those are silver box tones, A, B, C, and D. And get into radio, man. Get it. If any listeners can, get into amateur radio. It's a lot of fun. You'll learn a lot. And the other bonus, now I got, did I give you a tone dialer, Condor? I think I did.
Yeah, I did.
I found one at this hidden away Radio Shack. They had all this good stuff there. I found a tone dialer. Now they've been clearing them out for a long time now, But I found one for 27 cents. A tone dialer. That's right, just over a quarter. They were really clearing it out. When I got home, actually, when I got into the truck, I turned it on, and sure enough, it had batteries. So I got a tone dialer with batteries for 27 cents. That was just a...
Up it off that.
That's right. That was a phenomenal day. That was a phenomenal phenomenal trip to Radio Shack. So if you can, go to Radio Shack. Check the stuff out. Definitely get into ham radio if you can. At least get in, you know, buy a scanner. Have some fun. Now, last week we had a great, great interview with Slippin' Away. That was just phenomenal. He's highly intelligent. I was really pleased with how it turned out. We talked about some other stuff after the show, but that was so good, I just wanted to cut it off. I wanted that to be, you know, the dramatic ending. I wanted it to be Slippin' Away's show. We talked about Vonage. Yeah, I believe that's how you pronounce it. And that's voice over IP over a high bandwidth connection, cable or DSL. Rax, you want to talk to the listeners about that?
Yeah, Vonage, Vonage.com. $39.99 is the starting price. But anyway, if you go there, and you have a high-speed, high-bandwidth link, DSL cable modem, for this $40 a month, or they have other plans there as well, but you can basically get a voice over IP telephone with a, they happen to be out of New Jersey, so with the, your choice of like 10 different New Jersey area codes and voicemail and everything else. So you can get out from underneath the thumb of your local RBOC. And considering the fact that most people on, the, on their cell phones these days, the higher end plans anyway, have you know, unlimited nationwide calling, you can you know, have people calling into you, even though you may not be in New Jersey. You can have that New Jersey phone number.
I think they have area codes across the U.S. I'm not sure.
When I checked, it was just those. I think those were just Jersey area codes.
That's it, huh? Well, that's just a phenomenal deal. I think the first plan is $20, and that's 500 minutes. And then the next plan is four, like you said, $39.95, $40, and that's unlimited. And you have to have a certain amount of bandwidth, correct? Like 92 or something like that.
Right. And if you go to their website and click on subscribe now, I'm taking a look at it. Click on the button that says I'm not sure. It says, you know, the first button says I'm confident that my high speed digital connection is upload of at least 90 kilobits per second or better. If you're not sure, click on the I'm not sure button, and it loads a little Java applet that will test your upload speed. And I'm doing it as I'm speaking now. I don't know if Dual is trying to get out to there as well. And you can see what your bandwidth is.
Are you kidding me? On this Pentium 133, it would crash so hard right now if I did anything while I record the show. It did. Actually, that's you know what, listeners? The things I do, I will do anything for my listeners. That actually happened last week. My hard drive took a crap on me right when I was you know, putting the show together. So that's another reason why the show ended at the Slipping Away interview. Yeah, so check out Vonage.com. I'm going to do it. I'm dying to ditch my telco. I've had so much trouble with Quest. Unbelievably. I'm just totally sick of it. And it's possible. It's possible to get rid of. You don't need them anymore.
Here we go. My upload speed was 285 kilobits per second.
That's plenty fast.
That's fast enough. Fast enough for what they need. Now, they send you, you got to sign up for a year. They send you some hardware. I guess it's Cisco hardware, actually.
It's Cisco ATA, what is it, 185 something? I forgot what it is. It's like,
I can't remember exactly.
It's an analog to it's, man, what is it? It's on the site. Check it out.
You plug in. I don't know if you can get it to all that without the subscribing information. Anyway, so you plug this into your. You also have to have a little.
You have to have a router.
You have a router, cable / DSL router, not necessarily like the, you know, a Cisco 2500 series or anything that big. But you have to have that because you have to have more than one IP address. And you plug this black box into your cable / DSL router. Plug your telephone into it. And as long as you you have your connectivity with your internet service provider, you have dial tone. Now, it will not do 911. It will not do E911, which automatically reports where you're at. But that's okay as far as the you know, the FCC and everything is concerned, because this is considered a secondary phone line that people get. Although I'm sure some of them will be, you know, some people will be getting this as their only phone.
Boy, I would. Now, and I've also heard that the quality is as good as landline, is as good as your regular copper, your regular POTS line.
Voice over IP is kind of interesting. I played with the Cisco equipment a while back, and when I saw the demo, I was in a Cisco office, and the person I was speaking to was 5 feet away from me, and we, you know, picked up the phone and dialed one to the other. And the couple of things I noticed, first of all, there was a slight delay. I mean, if you've ever talked to someone with a cell phone with, you know, that you can visually see, there's a little bit of a delay there. When you're in different rooms, you really don't notice it. I mean, it's milliseconds delay. But the voice quality is very good. It's pretty close to what we have on analog telephones. But the other thing that I found highly interesting was, since it's all digital, there is no... Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we lost somebody, I think. Condor? Lost Condor. Anyway, so as the... in this perfect timing, this is exactly what I'm talking about. When you are on this, because it's all digital, there's no noise. And we're so used to hearing a little bit of white noise behind us, not necessarily that kind of noise, but other white noise behind us when you're talking on the phone, that if you don't hear that, you say, are you there? Which is what we just did.
Right.
And so what they found as they were working on this product, as they were testing it with people, you know, live tests, they found that if there wasn't a little bit of white noise in the background, people kept doing that. Are you there? Are you there?
Yes.
Your cell phone, right? You know, you don't hear any noise coming through. You don't think people are there.
I do that all the time.
And it's interesting in that for voice grade phone lines, we need a 64 kilobit channel for the audio range. And I forget what range it is, but
eight bits sampled 8,000 times per second. That's right.
The audio range that we have on a telephone is much less than the human ear is capable of listening to. So if you've ever had someone play a song for you over the telephone, it sounds pretty bad because it doesn't have the whole harmonic frequency response range. So, but anyway, to that 64 kilobit channel that we need for a voice line, they found doing voice over IP, that when doing real-time data compression, again, which is what your digital cell phones are doing, they can compress that down to about 5 kilobits per second. Well, by the time you add the overhead for TCP/IP, it's about 8 kilobits per second. So if you think about it, 8 kilobits per second to have a voice-grade conversation versus 64, in that same space that you're doing 64 kilobits per second, you could have 8 voice conversations. So it's much, much more efficient, much more economical in terms of bandwidth than traditional analog phones.
Now, to the average consumer, now this, I think, Vinaj, brings voice over IP to the reach of the average consumer, because before, I mean, it's basically a big business that's using voice over IP. Is that correct? I mean, the equipment was just out of reach.
Right. Although it's interesting as well, in China, they are laying miles and miles and miles of fiber optic cable. And the most places in China, once you get outside the large cities, they do not have telephone service. So they're basically getting to skip over like 100, 150 years of the evolution of the telephone system, and they're going directly to voice over IP in the homes in rural China.
Lucky bastards.
You've seen Star Trek? Well, I don't know. You probably haven't seen Star Trek, right?
Oh, yeah.
Star Trekkies.
Voyager.
Which flavor?
Voyager.
Okay.
Voyager.
You mean the 7 of 9 show?
Yeah. Okay. They're Prime Directive. Isn't it kind of like that? Or they're... We're kind of giving them technology.
Actually, it's not really like that in the sense that you don't interfere with another culture is the so-called prime directive. But it's actually interesting, and I was reading something else about speaking of corporate America and all that. But anyway, the corporate America is salivating so much about doing business with China because there's such a huge untapped market potential. Like the tobacco companies, that's their next big frontier. They want to get so many people in China hooked on tobacco.
They already have.
Of a permanent market. So the company, that was an interesting way they described it, these fat pig, you know, hoggish American corporations are so eager to eat at the trough that's the market potential of China, they don't mind if China's slicing bacon off their rumps. And what it is that China's saying, well, we'd like to do this, but, you know, you've got to give us this technology. So they're getting the benefit of a lot of, you know, Western technology, you know, without having to put in the R&D, because again, the market potential is so great in China that you know, companies are bending over backwards and they're selling it to them on pennies on the dollar just to get in to be the adopted standard. And Microsoft did that a few years ago with Windows. They were trying to get Windows to be the adopted standard in China.
Yeah, and that's right. Okay, are you done, Zach?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. First up, you're also talking about Microsoft in the schools. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Microsoft is now going to be pursuing the licenses. They're starting in Washington and Oregon, going to a bunch of school districts and say, "Hey, you got to pay on these
the warranties or whatever."
Well, yeah, there's this I forget the type of license that's called. There's a specific kind of name for it. But anyway, basically the schools have to renew this license on a yearly or 18-month basis. To keep using the Microsoft product. So they say either you pay us up or we're going to go and we're going to audit your usage of the software.
Or the schools will be driven to Linux.
And that's what they're doing.
Well, this one school district that they're involved with in doing that is involved in a Linux project, and they're actually working on their own distro. And I'll see if I can find this here as we're speaking. But there's it's kind of funny that one particular school district that they're going after in Portland is heavily involved in Linux.
Do I have that ready to move?
Excuse me?
I'm about ready to move.
You are?
No. Never mind.
You wanted to move to a school district where they're using Linux.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I get it. I don't blame you. Now, we had Apple, too, so Linux is a little ways off.
Ours is actually varied for a long time in our schools. All right, first off, we had the whole Apple deal. When I was in middle school, I remember, like, we all had Windows programs and stuff. Now our school is mainly Windows-based, but I know one or two computer labs around the school would have the iMacs and the little colorful Dayglo ones, too. So I think it varies from schools. I think it just varies.
Yeah, I think I'd rather see Apples in schools than Microsoft strong-arming these poor schools, you know, who are probably already hard up for money, forcing these licenses upon them. Auditing a school, that's just, it sounds almost evil.
Well, I mean,
evil!
The thing is, schools are, you know, businesses just as much as any governmental business or whatever, and they have to license the software, and when they're signing up for that, they're agreeing to those terms, so that's within...
I realize that. I realize Microsoft makes a good product and they're in for money. I realize all that. But, I mean, you see more and more governments, especially European governments, maybe even Central and South American governments, going to Linux to save money. I proved it at my place of work where the common operating environment is Windows 2000. I used Linux for months and months and months. I had no problems. I did everything everybody else did, all for $40. And you know what? Since I've had Windows 2000, you know, I get booted off the domain, and they come, and they don't know what the problem is, and they have to totally ghost my whole hard drive again. They don't know what's going on, and it costs all this money for the CSU. I had none of those problems when I ran Linux. I did everything myself. Everything worked beautifully. And again, I will say it, $40 freaking. Actually, I could have done it for free. I could have downloaded an ISO, burned the CD, did it for 25 cents.
Well, here's the thing, though, Dual. In as much as you're a trailing edge technology person, you're kind of an early adopter. And, you know, let's face it, the average person working in an office, I did consulting years ago when people had Windows 3.1, and they couldn't deal with it. Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows 2000 has taken phenomenal strides to make it easy for the average person to use. I mean, you know, Macintosh has done a similar type of thing as well. But, you know, the average person really wouldn't be able to, you know, do things. If they have to add it, you know, you get a new card, are they going to be able to recompile their kernel? I don't think so. They're going to barely be able to open up the case and install the card.
That's true. I think Linux distros are bridging the gap, though. I think they're getting simpler to use. Installations are getting easier. I think, and I read a little bit about SUSE 8, and I think it's doing that very thing. It's becoming a lot easier for the average user to use. I can't wait to try it out. I cannot wait to try it out.
By the way, I found that website for anyone who's interested. It's k12k12linux.org.
Yeah, you know, I think KDE makes a few edutainment titles.
Yes, they do.
Right. They do? Yeah.
And also there's another site, I think it's like SchoolForge or...
Right, yeah.
They're
part of this Forge network.
SchoolForge, what a cool name. Now, hey, I'd like to make a phone call before we go, and actually I'm going to prove... Now, actually, Condor brought this up to me. OneBox was cutting off their free service on the 15th, April 15th, and Condor said, hey, my voicemail still works. I'm still doing everything. And I said, no way. So I wanted to try it, and I actually did that with my from a payphone. I called up Condor's voicemail, and I left one, and it worked. Did it not, Condor?
It did.
Okay, is it still working today?
I haven't checked yet, and, you know, I need to go. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's perfect timing. You take it easy, dude, and we will see you next week.
Bye, Condor.
See you later.
So I'm going to call Condor's voicemail and leave one for him and prove that even though OneBox was cutting everything off on the 15th, so they say, waiting for people to sign up, they've still left it open. And I wonder why, actually. I mean, they just not get around to it yet, or maybe they're, you know, not that they would, but use scare tactics for people to sign up, you know, and then really not boot people off. I don't know. But I'm going to try it right now, so let me... Where's his number? Grab one of the, what did you call these? My little freaker black book? What did you call that?
I did call it your freaker little black book, or little black book for freakers.
Yeah, whatever. It's full of good information. Don't want it to fall into the wrong hands, though. Let me flash over. We'll be right back, Rax.
Welcome to OneBox. Please enter the 4-digit extension of the mailbox you are trying to reach now. You have reached...
Condor.
Record your message or send a fax at the tone. Press star to access your mailbox.
Condor. This is Dual Parallel from Radio Freak America, episode 9. Say hi, Rex.
Hi, Rex.
Hi, Rex. Say hi, Mary Chan.
You forgot to take your Ritalin again, didn't you?
No, I did not take my Ritalin. So, Condor, you had to leave us. We'll finish out the show without you. I'm actually going to play a little. Last week I played Hardwire, the song Everything, I believe, from Hardwire, a new song. And I'm going to play some more Hardwire today, some industrial tech, really good hardcore stuff. So, Condor, you take it easy. Enjoy the screensavers. Rex, you still there?
Man.
All right, dude. Well, next week is episode 10. I'm actually hoping to have everything set so we can stream for 11 in a couple of weeks. So let's
try to record some stuff at the 2600 meeting too, right?
Yeah, I've actually been wanting to do that for a long time, and I think that'd be really, really good thing for the show, because we've been getting great turnouts at the 2600 meetings, by the way. So if you want to get info about 2600 meetings, of course, go to the back of 2600 magazine or go to the website and click on meetings and find out about it. And, you know, make the effort to go, to socialize, to share information, to learn new things.
By the way, if you go, and I know this is kind of a problem every place, and you know we want to identify where we're specifically at, but if you go, and the people aren't specifically right at the spot where they're saying to meet, walk around, look for people with computer T-shirts or like we were all sitting there in a food court with a bunch of laptops and an iBo, for crying out loud. I mean, how many more techie toys do you need to have to be an indicator?
That day, dude, there was a big glow. There was a huge geek, techie, hacker glow around us. There was so much tech on the tables. It was unbelievable. Yeah, we're not. A lot of times they say, you know, in this spot by the payphones. Well, usually they're not camped out under the payphones. Just walk around. You can't miss them. And believe me, not everybody's dressed all in black and all crazy looking. You know, a lot of the hackers are normal people like you and me. Not that that's abnormal, but.
Some of them even shower.
Yes. We have good hygiene. They're highly intelligent. Yes, that's.
Matter of fact,
true.
You know the one guy came. I guess he was babysitting his little sister. Or whatever. We had a 10-year-old girl at the meeting too.
Yeah, she loved Ivo, man. She's getting a big kick out of it. Yeah. That was great. So definitely walk around. You'll definitely find them. All right, Rex. I will see you next week for episode 10. This is Dual Parallel saying goodbye and good night. Be the media, Rex.
Knowledge free.
Mary Chan.
Love and peace.
Love and peace. Okay, later.